I am convinced that the scene we just heard in the scriptures was not happenstance. I believe Jesus knew exactly whose boats would be where, what fishermen would be willing to allow him to use their boats as a microphone. It wasn't the first time he had seen Simon and Andrew or James or John, or they had seen him. He knew who they were. They knew who he was. Galilee was not that big a place. And he knew when they came in from their labors, they would be willing to allow him to use their boat. He stepped into their boat, and he stepped into their lives. And of course, pulling out from the shore in one of their boats, they had to stay and listen to the sermon, because he was in their boat. But once that was over, he said to Simon, "Let's take the boat and take it out into the deep and throw down your nets." That's what the scriptures say. He said, "Let's go out into the deep and throw down your nets." This is what the fishermen heard. "Let's go out into the deep and throw your clean nets, your dry nets, the nets you've already rolled up. Go out into the deep and throw them in." It is certainly true that when the call of God comes into our lives, it is never convenient. It's never easy. Simon recognized that this was a holy man. He recognized it and indicates it by the word, "Master." But then he tries to wiggle out of the inconvenience. "Master, we have fished all night and caught nothing." But then he negates his negation. "If you desire, we will go out and throw down our nets." They paddle out to the deep, they throw down their nets, and suddenly their nets are teeming with fish. So much so that their partners, James and John, come over to help, and both boats are so filled with fish that Luke says they're both beginning to sink. Maybe Luke had some fishermen in him too, because he likes to exaggerate just a little bit like fishermen do. But when they come to shore, Simon falls at the knees of Jesus and says, "Depart from me. Depart from me. I am a sinner, Lord." Isn't it true that we are such strange and perverse creatures that we often say exactly the opposite of what we mean? Ben comes home from school, got a long face, his lips kind of out there, kind of shuffling around. He sits down and his loving mother says, "Ben, what's wrong?" "Nothing." Now, nothing means everything is wrong. Teenage boy comes by and swipes a book from a teenage girl who likes him, and she runs off after him shrieking, "Give it back, give it back." She'd be devastated if he turned around and did what she asked. We often say one thing, meaning the exact opposite. Simon Peter says to Jesus, "Go away, depart from me." But what he really means is, "Stay. Stay." I suppose if you had asked Simon Peter that morning when he came out of his house, "Are you a good man?" he'd say, "Yeah, I'm as good as anybody around." But in the presence of Jesus, in the presence of his purity, all Simon can feel is his own impurity. In the presence of Christ's light, Peter is aware of his darkness inside. Isn't that true of all of us? the more spiritually mature we become, the more acutely we are aware of the darkness within us. A truly evil person has no idea of their badness. A saint is acutely aware of how he or she falls short of God's call. Simon Peter is in the presence of purity, and in the presence of that purity, he feels inadequate. And so he says to our Lord, "Depart from me. It makes me uncomfortable." And yet what he really means is stay. Because he realizes that this holy man desires what is best for him. Are you and I not very similar? In our own lives, in our own darkness, when we need God's presence, are we not likely to try to say to God, "Leave me alone. Leave me alone in my prejudice. Leave me alone in my hatred. Leave me alone in my resentment. Leave me alone in my fear. Leave me alone in my own weakness. Go away." When our heart's really crying out, stay. Like Peter, we realize that Christ desires what is best for us. As uncomfortable as that call might be, as difficult as it might stretch us out of what we know, we say to God, "Leave me alone," when we really mean, "Take me and pull me out of this life. Make my life meaningful and full of purpose." Simon Peter sees this boat full of fish, and he realizes that his life is at a crossroads. The only way I can fully explain what I mean by that is to share the story of a man, an Olympian you've probably never heard of, named Matt Emmons. 2004, Matt Emmons is one shot away from the gold medal in sharpshooting. Captain of the team, former gold medal winner. All he's got to do is hit somewhere near the center of the target, and the gold medal is his. He takes his aim, shoots, fires, bullseye. One problem. He was so focused on the target, he hit the target next to the booth, next to his. Bullseye, but the wrong target. No points. No medal. All of his life, Simon has dreamed of the big catch. He is a good fisherman, a conscientious fisherman, and he's always dreamed of that big catch, fish so much that makes a boat sink. And all of a sudden, he has what he has desired. He's accomplished what his goal has been, and suddenly he realizes everything he wanted is not enough. He has spent his passion on the wrong target. He realizes Jesus offers him a different target where to pursue his energy. "Come with me, follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." Simon Peter realizes what he's asking. "Come with me and give up your boats. Give up your nets. Give up everything you know. Give up the habituated life you're accustomed to. Follow me, and I will give you a new target at which to aim your life. You'll become a fisher of people for the gospel." Simon Peter realizes he's offering him a new life at a great price. Great theologian of yesteryear named William Temple said, "The real tragedy of life is that some joker has come in and changed all of the price tags in life. Rearranged all the price tags so that things that are meant to be precious, meant to be sacred, are considered cheap, whereas pursuits that are ultimately tawdry and useless are treasured at a high price. The value of faith, says Temple, is that Christ comes in and clarifies our visions and rearranges the price tags correctly. And to follow the Christ, to give Christ everything he is, Simon Peter realizes it cost everything he has, but the price is right. Sometimes I think you and I fool even ourselves as to how much God is truly our God. Sometimes we're not even honest with ourselves about our true priorities. Years ago, someone asked me to do a discipline. He said, take 10 separate sheets of paper and write down the 10 most important things in your life. What would those 10 things be for you? Your spouse, your children, your friends, your health, your possessions. Write down the 10 most important things on 10 sheets of paper. And then one by one, put those pieces of paper aside from the least important to the most important. Whatever you hold last in your hand, that is your God. It may not be God, but whatever is last in your hand, that's your God. Jesus is saying to Simon Peter, what's the most important thing in your life? If someone 2 days before had tried to steal those boats, steal those nets, those fishermen would have died trying to prevent it. And now Jesus is saying, leave it all behind. Follow me. Become an employee of the kingdom. And it's going to cost you everything. But the price is right. And then Jesus says to Simon Peter something incredibly wise. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Isn't it a good thing that none of us can see too far down the road of our lives? Isn't it a good thing that Simon couldn't see himself trying to walk on water, sinking? A good thing he couldn't see himself in the outer courtyard while Jesus was being interrogated, denying that he even knows the Christ? A good thing that he didn't see himself in that small group of believers in Jerusalem trying to lead this nascent movement called Christianity? If he had had to ponder the challenges of the future, he could not have done it. All Jesus is saying to him, trust me for strength for today, and I will supply your need. It's going to cost you everything. The price is right. Some years ago, riding down the road, I saw a bicyclist with a t-shirt, and on the back said, Got Jesus? And I knew it was a play on the ad, Got Milk? But as I passed the rider, it occurred to me the phrase was exactly wrong. The real question is, does Jesus have us? Is God really our God? Does Jesus have us heart, soul, mind, resources? All of our energy, is it all poured toward the kingdom? Does Jesus really have us? Or do we continue to say to God, don't call me out into something new. Don't call me out of my hatred, or out of my apathy, or out of my resentment, or out of my prejudice, or out of my fear. Don't call me into new territory and stretch my faith. Leave me alone. When what we really mean is, come, claim me. Claim me and use me for your glory. What does the scripture say? And when they reached land, they left everything and followed him. That's the definition of true faith. And it requires all that we are to embrace the fullness of Christ's gift to us. But the price is right. May we pray together. God of grace and goodness, you peer into our hearts. And you know how we're shackled by the past. You know how we are imprisoned by habit. You know how we're beset with fear. Call us out of ourselves to leave our nets and our boats for your ship of faith. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Even as